The FAA is fast-tracking regional airline safety reforms. NASA's lunar probe is being readied to give its life for research. And Alaskan lawmakers tell DHS, your rules won't work up here. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 26, 2009. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt Wednesday announced an expedited review of flight and rest rules and called on U.S. airlines and unions to respond by July 31st. He's asking for specific commitments to strengthen safety at regional and major airlines by insisting they all obtain all available FAA pilot records, among other actions. By July 15th, the FAA says it will establish an aviation rulemaking committee, including members from the FAA, labor, and industry. The ARC will be charged with developing recommendations for an FAA rule by September 1st. FAA has given its inspectors the same July 15th deadline to complete a focused review of airline procedures for identifying and tracking pilots who fail evaluations or who demonstrate a repetitive need for additional training. Babbitt also wants to work with Congress to update the current Pilot Records Improvement Act of 1996 to make pilot record reporting more open. The new FAA attention will include at least 10 regional safety forums throughout the nation to open a dialogue with as many airlines as possible, solidifying commitments to the actions identified in the call to action meeting, and to discuss additional best practices. The FAA expects airlines that have contractual relationships with regional feeder companies to develop specific programs to share safety data and ensure that their partner airlines mirror their most effective safety practices. Earlier this year, the FAA proposed upgraded training standards for pilots, flight attendants, and dispatchers. The public comment period closes August 10th. LCROSS, NASA's Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, successfully completed a critical swing-by maneuver of the moon at 5:20 a.m. Pacific Time on Tuesday. The maneuver puts LCROSS on a trajectory to complete its mission to search for water ice on the moon in early October. Craig Elder is the LCROSS spacecraft program manager for Northrop Grumman. He says it's been a fantastic mission. Quote, it came together very quickly, was built on a modest budget, and delivered in a very short time frame, just 29 months. Most importantly, it will produce high-value science data critical to the nation's quest to return humans to the moon and beyond. Unquote. The craft will eventually give its all for the cause, looking for evidence of water and hydrated matter, which would be a boon to future manned missions in the shadows of large craters. Once the target crater has been identified, LCROSS will be configured for lunar impact, spending the last 4 minutes of its life collecting and streaming data to Mission Control for analysis. Alaska's congressional delegation has renewed its call for the Department of Homeland Security to reconsider proposed TSA rules on general aviation, in light of a finding by the department's own inspector general that, quote, general aviation presents only limited and mostly hypothetical threats to security, unquote. Back in February, the Alaska delegation said of TSA's so-called large aircraft security program, quote, our primary concern is that this plan's far-reaching effects have not been properly weighed against potential threats. We fear the LASP plan may drastically impact the lives of our constituents with little security gain, unquote. The plan's ban on carrying items such as hand tools and survival gear in plane cabins would be pretty drastic in Alaska, with lawmakers concerned the arbitrary rules would impede the flow of necessary goods to isolated communities. Alaska Congressman Don Young commented, quote, across-the-board regulations are not the answer here. What works in states in the lower 48 will not work in Alaska, where general aviation is essential to the survival of some smaller communities, unquote. Would somebody please tell Congressman Young that LASP doesn't work down here in the lower 48 either? Up next on ANN, crossed trim cables are blamed for a fatal crash in Ohio. Predator B drones are already watching the U.S.-Canada border. And Boeing successfully flies two helicopters with just one crew. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 26th. I'm Paul Plack. The NTSB has released its probable cause report on the crash of a Convair CV-580, which killed the pilot and two others on board on September 1st of last year. The 57-year-old pilot had over 16,000 hours and held airline transport, multi-engine land, and single-engine land ratings. The NTSB determined cross-connected elevator trim cables following maintenance of the aircraft caused that accident. About 1 minute after takeoff from Rickenbacker International Airport in Columbus, Ohio, the first officer radioed the tower, saying they needed to return to land. The airplane came down in a cornfield about a mile southwest of the approach end of the runway. Investigators learned from cockpit voice recordings that the crew battled with the plane's trim control, thinking they'd exhausted nose-up trim when, due to elevator trim cables rigged improperly, they had inadvertently dialed in full nose-down trim. The plane was just out of maintenance. NTSB found numerous inspector blocks were not signed off by the required inspection item inspector. The board's report added that a contributing factor was the captain's inadequate post-maintenance pre-flight check. As local law enforcement agencies look on jealously, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol is testing a Predator B unmanned aircraft system stationed at Fort Drum since early June, evaluating the aircraft for Border Patrol duty. According to WWTI Television in Watertown, New York, the Department of Homeland Security is using the restricted airspace over Fort Drum to determine if the Predator is a good fit for patrolling the U.S.-Canadian border. John Stanton, director of CBP's Office of Air and Marine, said state, provincial, and local law enforcement agencies were quick to take up the offer of added surveillance of Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River. At least for now, U.S. law enforcement agencies are not allowed to operate UAVs in airspace shared with civilian aircraft, due to the risks of mid-air collisions. The tests in the restricted airspace are done at 19,000 feet. Stanton says his Predators are identical to those flown by the military, only they have less power and carry no weapons. Boeing announced on Wednesday it has successfully tested a data link, which puts the control of an unmanned AH-64D Apache Block 3 prototype helicopter in the hands of a crew flying another helicopter nearby. The flight of two helicopters by one crew happened June 8th over the Arizona desert. During the test, the Apache proved capable of controlling the UAS via a tactical common data link connection. The Apache crew received real-time video from the drone, controlled its three navigation loiter patterns, those are orbit, racetrack, and figure eight, and altered its airspeed and altitude. For this demonstration, Boeing used one of its AH-6 helicopters as a surrogate for Sky Warrior, the extended-range multipurpose UAS that's not yet available. Boeing's Scott Rudy commented, quote, "Integration of UAS control is a key technology for the Apache Block 3 helicopter as we prepare for the limited user test scheduled for later this year. The U.S. Army, Boeing, and our industry partners are proud to have achieved this critical capability," unquote. Still ahead, the Paris Air Show thrives in the recession. Embraer celebrates a delivery to a Brazilian regional airline. And there's a reason they named the place Darwin. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 26th. I'm Paul Plack. As predicted by organizers earlier this month, the 100th anniversary Paris Air Show saw solid numbers for attendance and participation by vendors, despite the global economic recession. The official totals released this week include 2,000 exhibitors from 48 countries, 142 aircraft on display, including over 42 for flight demonstrations, and 380,000 public entries, including 140,000 professional visitors. There were a few major deals done at the show, although Airbus did hold a list of 122 aircraft orders for official announcement at Paris. Embraer held a ceremony Wednesday at its headquarters in São José dos Campos, Brazil, to mark the delivery of an Embraer 175 jet to Trip-Linhas Aéreas, the largest Brazilian regional airline. The airline has placed 5 firm orders for the Embraer 175 in a deal that includes options for another 10 aircraft and purchase rights for 15 more. A happy Embraer CEO, Frederico Fleury Curado, commented, quote, "We are certain that together, Embraer and Trip will make a big contribution to the Brazilian air transportation system," unquote. The airline's new E-Jet and 2 other 175s it already has in service are configured to comfortably accommodate 86 passengers in a single-class layout. Trip connects Rio de Janeiro to a total of 42 cities across Brazil. And finally today, the BBC reports a helicopter pilot flying in a remote area of Australia turned his craft to get a better look at a crocodile. The next thing he remembers, he says, is being, quote, upside down in the mud, unquote. The unidentified pilot said he realized it could take a day for rescuers to arrive, so he pulled his injured passenger out of the wreckage and away from the croc, then buried the man up to his neck in dirt to save him from hypothermia. The pilot then summoned help using a satellite phone. Responders said they thought the passenger was dead until he moved his head. Ian Badham, director of CareFlight, called the case bizarre. The site of the crash was about 37 miles from Darwin. Gee, I wonder how that place got its name. That's the latest from Aero News. I know. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation was a member of the CLEAR program, designed to expedite passage of pre-screened frequent flyers through airport security. Like many customers, he had his credit card charged for a 2-year renewal just before the company ceased operations and went bankrupt on Monday. I'll talk with Bob about what the program was supposed to be, why the TSA fought it, and why it might one day be back. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.